Yes, Brother Billy, I want to say good morning to each one of you and pray God's going to bless you richly today in His Word. If you get your Bible, look with us into Exodus chapter number 17, is where we're looking today. The inspiration to sing in the song is going to encourage us a little bit as we warm up to you. I pray you've had a blessed week in the Lord. I pray you're looking forward to another great week in God. And the song says that troublesome times will come. And that's so, isn't it? Our life's not without troubles. Mine's not, yours not. But I tell you, there's a God on the throne today that we can look to and we can trust in, we can believe. I'll never forget the day when I believed God. Never forget that time in 1987 when God gloriously saved me in a little country church just south of McKenzie, Alabama. God took a young man that had things in his life and make black marks on a wash pot. God took him and saved him and made him a brand new creature. That's what happened to me when I was 19. God gloriously touched me, called me by the preached word of God. I thank God for the preacher that shared the word with me. I encourage you preachers to keep on preaching. You don't ever know when there's going to be another young man or young lady. God's going to reach down and grip them and touch them and call them by the power of His might and redeem them. Thank God, that's what God done in the life of Israel. When Jacob was his own, God chose Jacob and He named him Israel. Jacob was the beginning of what God was doing. We know that He used Adam, and God brought those generations from Adam to Abraham. And we began to see Abraham in the 11th and 12th chapter of the book of Genesis after the flood. God takes the flood and He uses it to cleanse the earth. And God cleansed it and God called a man by the name of Noah. And then God called a man by the name of Abraham. And then God called His son Isaac and His grandson Jacob. And God took Jacob and remember He changed his name. And He said no longer as we get the music stop right here. No longer will you be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. Israel shall be thy name. That's what God did. I tell you, it's what the Lord does. God is good to us. He's gracious to us. He's kind to us. He works on our behalf. He protected Jacob, even when Esau, his brother, wanted to kill him. And so sometimes our enemies are not on the outside. Sometimes they're on the inside, aren't they? And we understand adversity. But you know, the scripture said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And we don't want to faint. Thank God Jesus said that He would that we faint not. Amen. And so we're not going to faint. Thank God we're going to follow through. You know, the Christian life is about follow through. It ain't those that start the race. It's those that finish the race that gets the prize. And so thank God we stay with Christ. And we obey Him. And remember when those that were leaving Jesus left. And He looked at Peter and said, wilt thou also go away? And Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. God, give us that wisdom today. Where shall we go? I ask you that today. Where are you going to go? What are you going to look to? You said, preacher, I'm discouraged with the Christian faith. Well, where are you going to go? That's what Jesus asked Peter. He said, Peter, you want to go? You want to check out of this deal? Go ahead. And Peter said, Lord, I got nowhere to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's the way Jesus is. He's got the words today. He's got a word for us today. And we're going to see where God used some people in the life of Moses. And God took them and they imparted some wisdom. You know, there's people today that can impart wisdom to us. And they can say things. I remember things today that men of God and women of God have said to me. And sometimes nothing to do with the Christian faith. But people in my background that have said things that changed my whole psyche. Do you remember that? You probably think back right now as we speak about things that happened to you. Things, moments, God used moments in your life to change your whole outlook. And we say words aren't important, but they are important. I remember when I've been checked, I remember when I've been tested. I remember when I've been called. I remember things that men of God and women of God have said to me, family members, you name it, that changed my outlook. And we need those things. Everyone need them. We need them in part. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to tell my grandchildren anything, you know, might upset them. I tell you, they need to hear the things. Sometimes that's the tough things. They need to know you love them. They need to know you care for them. And then they'll receive reproof and they'll receive instruction. And this is where Moses was. Now, we'll continue the series a little bit here in Exodus chapter 17. And where God brings the children of Israel. Remember, we preached this. Well, I'm not going to recap it all, but we have preached this of the going out. We preached crossing that Red Sea. God brought them across, how so? On dry land. And then God, when he got them there, he fed them with bread from heaven. And we talked about heaven's honey buns falling down every morning, fresh bread. Thank God. Can you imagine that? I mean, they come out of that tent, hallelujah, look, they're going to load the basket full of fresh bread. God's got fresh bread for us today. It's about 5:30 in the morning while I preach this. And so I pray, God, give you fresh bread today. I need fresh bread every day. And then we see in the 16th chapter where he watered them. God gave them water out of the rock. And he told Moses, he said, speak to the rock. And so he told him to smite the rock, and he smote it, and the waters gushed out. And later, we're going to see where he told him to speak to it. And God says, speak, ask. What's that saying? It's saying that God smit his son. He smit Jesus on the cross. Jesus is the rock. And he smote him on the cross, but he's never going to smite him again. And that's why he said, speak to the rock. And Moses, and I'm getting ahead of myself in this series, but we're going to find it later on when we get there, that Moses smote the rock again, and it was a grievous sin. Why? Because Jesus is the rock. And to those children of Israel, Christ was the rock. He is the rock. He'll always be the rock. And so when he said, speak to it, you know what that means? That means the believer is never going to crucify Christ again. No, Christ has been smitten once for sin and for sinners. But now we speak, we ask the Lord, we commune with Christ. People said, preacher, I wished I knew the secret to getting something from God. Well, number one, you got to be saved. And so if we don't walk with God, he does not hear us. He does not hear us. And so we have to walk with God. We have to be saved. And then we have to commune with God. Speak to the rock, Moses. And so Moses missed it on that point. And we're going to save the rest of that for when we get there. But I tell you, we can ask the Father. That's what I want you to see this morning. We can ask the Father those things that we need. And so here. 17th chapter, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. No water, get this now. And so the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? The people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? So Moses, what happened? He smote the rock, and God brought water, and the water gushed out. So we see this. Watch it now. Wherefore is this that thou brought us up? And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before thy people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, where thou smotest the river. Remember this rod? The rod of God was in Moses' hand. It was a rod of authority. It was a rod that was anointed. It was the anointed rod. And so here, it was like the shepherd's staff. That shepherd's staff speaks of authority. You know what he does with it? You know what the shepherd does with the staff? Sometimes he takes the hook and he grabs the sheep and he leads them. Sometimes he prods them. Sometimes he pulls them, and God uses the shepherd's staff. Jesus said, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. And he said, I know my sheep, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I like that part, brother. There's something about that. Thank God those sheep know the voice of the master. And I tell you, if you're saved today and walking with God, you know the voice of the master too. You know when the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart and it goes pitter-patter and God says, don't do that. Stay away from that. Leave that alone. And then God speaks to you and says, you ought to go over there. You ought to give that man something to eat. Give him something to wear. Give him some money. Give him something. Put some gas in his tank. Sometimes, you know, if you'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God, he'll lead you like that. And he'll tell you. And he'll speak to you. God will show you some things. Why? Because he's the great shepherd of the sheep. And so here, God said, take your staff. Take your rod, Moses. Take your rod and go on before the people. And he said, Moses, pardon me, let's back up a little bit, because he said, wherefore is this thou? Moses began to cry, and they're crying against Moses and said, where is this that you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children? See, they done forgot about the fact God gave them two great deliverances. Now they've murmured again. He said, well, every time you preach this, preacher, they're murmuring again. That's right, because what they done. And so they're murmuring again. And they said, give us water. We're about to thirst. And so God said, Moses said, what shall I do? They're almost ready to stone me. He said, they're about ready to kill me, Lord. What do I do? And he said, go on, take the elders and thy rod. Very important. Don't leave that symbol of authority. And so he took the rod of God in his hand. And he said, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And so what happened? God gave it, and what did he say? He said, is the Lord among us or not? Yes, God is among us. And then came Amalek, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. I'm going to say something about Amalek real quickly. Amalek is the descendants of Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob. Esau went the way of the world. Jacob went the way of the Lord. Now watch this. We can't serve God and mammon. And Esau refused holy things. If you remember this, back in the 27th or 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, Esau took the things that were holy, and one of those was the birthright, and he sold it for bread. He sold it for a morsel of meat. He sold it because his flesh, you know what he done? He sold that was holy to satisfy his flesh. Now, there's people doing that all the time today, taking holy things and cashing it in. God offers you salvation. God puts his hand on your life. God calls you by his rich, marvelous grace, and many of you will cash that in for a morsel of meat. That's what the word said, Hebrews chapter 12, that he sold his meat for he sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. Esau was living after the flesh, living after today, despised holy things, and I tell you, that's a surefire recipe to wake up in hell. And so we don't want to go that route. We want to love holy things and not worldly things. And so Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. And we get this. This is what he's talking about right here. This is the Amalekites. These are the descendants of Esau. This was the brother of Jacob that refused to serve God. He was a God hater. And we know his doom. Watch now. So they're facing the cousins, that's right, their daddy was Jacob, and their father here, the Amalekites, was Esau, and so they're distant cousins, and their cousins have come against them to defeat them, and the word said, that Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said, and he fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And when Moses held up his hand, people said, preacher, I think holding up your hands toward God's out of date. Well, it ain't out of date. We're to lift up holy hands to him. We're to never be ashamed to lift up your hand to the Lord. You know, people go to the ball games, and what do? They raise their hands, they wave their arms, they do the jig, they do everything. They dance, they jump over the gates, they get hung up in the hedges, they tear down the goalposts, they'll climb them goalposts and just tear them down. And people say, oh, you know, we ought to stay calm in church. Well, can't you lift up holy hands to God? Can't you praise him? There's something about that. When you lift up holy hands, and the only thing that makes our hands holy is him, by the way. When we lift up our hands to him in praise, thank God, it's just something about that. Sweet communion comes in our heart. And God called us and commanded us to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, 1 Timothy said. And so here, Moses has got his hands up. And while his hands were up, that's communion with God. As his hands were up, mine's up right now while I'm preaching this. And so I'm illustrating, you can't see it, of course, because it's radio. But hey, Moses has got his hands up and his hands got tired. After a while, your hands get tired, won't they? And so, and when he let his hands down, the children of Amalek prevailed. But when his hands were up toward God, the children of Israel prevailed. So Moses had Aaron and Hur. Aaron was his brother. Hur, I don't know who Hur was. But I tell you, Hur is on one side, and Aaron's on the other, and thank God they got wise. And so what do? Aaron held up one arm, and Hur held up the other. And while they done that, the word said, there's one on one side, one on the other side, and his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. It's hard to fight when you can't see. And so the war was, and to the going down of the sun, and what happened? Joshua, the leader. You want to know why God chose Joshua later on? Because Joshua was a leader when he was a young man. Joshua gave his heart to God in his youth. Joshua, God used him mightily. And we know that when Moses died, Joshua received and led the people forward and took them across into Canaan land. And so here, watch now. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it. You say, well, I get tired of hearing the same old thing. Well, you listen to the same songs, don't you? You listen to the radio. You know what they play? Same old songs. And so people say, well, you know, I don't like reading the Bible because it's repetitive. You watch TV shows. Now we got retro channels. You know why? Because they're repetitive. And you know why we watch them? Because we like them. And so those old throwbacks, some of them are real good, aren't they? And so we do that because we like them. And you know why God said rehearse it? He said rehearse it in the ears of the children of Israel where they won't ever forget it. God does not want you to forget what he's done. That's why he's called preachers to preach. That's why he's called us to read. That's why he's preserved us a copy of the scriptures. There used to be a day when the common man didn't have a copy of the scripture. And so we know in the 15th, 16th century, you know what God done? He raised up men that would print. And we know about the printing press. And we know about in the 1400s, God designed it where men could take and print the pages of God's Word, where everybody could have a copy of the Scripture. And that's a blessed thing not to be taken for granted. And so God's gave us a copy of His Word. But back then, they didn't have a copy of His Word until they copied it by hand and put it on the parchments. And so here, the word said, God said, write this for a memorial, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I want to tell you, sir, you do not want to fight against God. Your arm's not long enough. Your punch is not stout enough. And so what happens? You can't win. You can't beat God. And here we find it. God said, I'm going to put him out, and I'm going to smite out all the remembrance of Amalek. You know what that means? I'm going to extinguish. Remember how Adolf Hitler wanted to extinguish the Jews? Well, I tell you, God did extinguish Amalek. And he said, I'm going to put remembrance out away from them. Now, you're going to see some Amalekites through the scripture here and yonder. But I'm telling you, they were never significant again. Why? Because God said, I'm going to put them away. And Moses, what happened? Moses built an altar. I tell you, that's a good place to build an altar, ain't it? You know where's a good place to build an altar? Wherever God's inclined you to worship. You said, preacher, I don't have an altar at my house. Yes, you do. Kneel down somewhere. Find you a place. Find you somewhere out in the barn to pray. Ladies, find you somewhere, that prayer closet in the home, that secret place where you read God's word, or you just go get along with the Lord and tell him about it. You know what's wrong? Sometimes we'll light up the phone, light up Facebook, light up social media, light up everything but the prayer closet. Thank God we need to light up the prayer closet and spend some time there and tell Jesus what's wrong. And so we don't always need to tell other people. There's some things we need to keep. Bless God, we need to keep things, and we don't have to blab everything, do we? Oh, no. We don't have to put our life out there for the whole world to read. My God, let us tell Jesus about it. And the word said right here, for he said he built an altar and called it, the name of it, Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, God has said, I'm going to tell you, brother, the promises of God in him are yea. And the promises of God are so. And he said, God has said. You know why Moses built that altar? He said, God gave me his word, and I believe his word. And I believe what God said. And he said, we will have no more war. Have war with Amalek. Pardon me, because he has said we will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And so what happens? And God said you're going to have war with them forever. Forever. But God did say, look in the 14th verse, write this for a memorial. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It goes hand in hand with what I told you. We read about the Amalekites later on. But I tell you, brother, whatever God says build an altar, that's where you build an altar. And God's leadership. You know, this is something that's a good time to point out this. We will have tribulation in this world. It's never going to be a world. He said, well, which one of those is right, preacher? Should he made the altar or shouldn't he? He should have. God told him to. But God also told him that you're going to have to deal with the Amalekites. We find it. We find it in other places in the scripture because they did not wipe people out. Now, this sounds cruel, I understand, but God is a man of war. And God is the great. Listen, Patton couldn't tote water for the Lord Jesus, as great a general as he was. God's a man of war. And when they did not smite these people out, you know what they had to do? They had to deal with them. And God said, they will be thorns in your flesh. You know, it's much like getting the victory in our spiritual walk. If we don't get the victory over the thing that troubles us, we will deal with that thing for many days to come until we get the victory. This is what God's saying. He's saying Amalek. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a little bit of a promise right here to Esau. Now, Esau, we know, was a God hater. But his seed, God said that they would deal with Amalek. And then we read, as we said at other times, but watch now. Moses and Aaron, I'm going to go back to the 10th verse. Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Now, you ever thought about this in closing? Our time's about to get away. What if Moses would not have obeyed God? Joshua. What if Joshua had not obeyed God? The word said, he did as Moses said, and he fought. Now let's go down to one more place. And Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill with Moses. What if Moses would have went alone? If he would have went alone, there would have been no Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms, to hold up his hands. You know what this says? Thank God we need to hold up our brother and our sister. We need to hold up their hands. You probably heard this saying sometime in the past. We need to hold up their hands. Why come? Because the Spirit's willing, but Jesus said the flesh is weak. We need to hold up our brother, hold up our neighbor, hold up the hands of those that are in the battle, that are fighting the enemy. I know people today that are battling with drugs and alcohol, and they want to be free, and they want to be delivered, they want to be clean. They got other things in their life. We all have things we deal with. But in the prison system, I love to go in the prison system and preach God's word because those men are honest. I didn't say they're all honest. A lot of them are. And you know what they do? They tell you, preacher, pray for me. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. So they done been ripped of all their pride. They done put off their religious garments. Now some of you haven't put off your religious garments, and you know what you are? You are a hardened shell of a religious person that does not know God. Some of you are not saved. I didn't say all. Some of you are not saved, and you're playing the part. And you don't know Jesus, and you're going to leave this world. And if you ain't careful and prayerful, you're going to leave this world lost. And that's not what God wants. It's not what he wants. We need Aaron and hers in our lives that hold up our arms and care for us. We need to be the ones looking to care for those that are seeking the Lord, praying to God. I get calls. I get email. I get messages from people. Through this broadcast, you know what they'll say to a radio preacher? They'll pour their heart out because why? Number one, they probably don't know me. Number two, they're probably never going to see me. And they'll say, preacher, pray for me. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this thing in my life over here. This is going on and that's going on. And I pray you feel you can do that. You can ask and you can share in confidence. And we'll pray together and trust God together and believe God together because I know what it feels like to need somebody to talk to. And I pray today God gives you some Aaron and hers in your life that'll hold up your hands until the battle's over. Thank God this battle's just for a while. It's only for a while. Father, take your word today and speak it and breathe it and give it to us, God, and speak it to our hearts. God, I pray the Holy Ghost would never leave us to our own. I pray, Father, you'd give us that, Lord, that only you can. And God, that we'll see you in the beauty of holiness. And God, we'll seek you. And Lord, we'll look to you. And God, we'll trust you. And God, we'll believe you for those things we need. Father, do it today. Work on our behalf. Lead us and guide us in the goodness of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. This is Brother Billy. Praying God's word is going to richly bless you. Walk with God. Go with God. He'll go with you. Until next time, may God richly bless you is our prayer.